You can have biblical knowledge, but if you don't fear Him, you don't respect Him, you haven't come into a right relationship with Him, that knowledge is not the knowledge that is being spoken of here. It's the kind of knowledge that puffs up and makes arrogant, rather than true knowledge in the context of fearing the Lord.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. I have a phone comment from Jim in Texas. He says, I am grateful for your program. It's my favorite program. Thank you for strengthening me in the Lord. Thank you so much for your ministry. Well, Jim, you are so welcome. And what a blessing to hear that the Lord is using His Word to strengthen you. And we are so thankful to the Lord for the privilege to get His Word out. And so thank you so much, Jim, for your encouragement. And I just want to share with our listeners, we are so thankful for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. We just want to let you know it does not go unnoticed. We praise God for you.
And Greg, we as believers are aware that we're to love one another. And indeed, that's a manifestation of a true relationship with Christ. Now today, you're going to speak of some interesting aspects of love that may be new to some of our listeners. So give us a snapshot of what we'll learn today.
Well, Dave, I'd like to, but I think if I do, I'd give it away. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And love is the evidence of a changed life, and that love will manifest in a love for one another because God tells us how to interact with one another. God shows us in His Word to treat one another more important than ourselves, to think of you as more important than our wills. We see this in 1 John chapter 3, 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And again, what does loving the brethren look like? So loving God, seeing Him as more important, I see His will is more important than my will, which could be okay, but His will is more important. And then also it's the same as seeing His people as more important. Look again at 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Hey, you're born again. You're His child. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. It's going to speak of His children, by the way, not just the child singular. By this, verse 2, we know that we love the children of God. By this, this is how you can know if you love, really love. Because out in the world, in church world, you know, love is just doing stuff for people. You know, that's maybe a loving act, maybe not. But here he says, by this we can know that we love the children of God. You can know when we love God and observe His commands. You know, when he says to be anxious for nothing, if I'm anxious around you, I'm not loving you. I'm being very selfish, aren't I? Right? If I'm angry at you, I'm being very selfish. I'm not loving you, am I? He says, don't be angry. Don't the sun go down in your anger. There's so many commands you look at that when we disobey his word, what manifests in that is a lack of love for those around us. And so within this, we see that biblical love is a love that is God's love as we abide in Christ, trusting in Him, obeying His word, allowing His desires to become our desires. When His desires, as revealed in the word, become our desires, when we see them as the most important, we are loving Him, and that is what is loving one another. Now again, we don't do that perfectly, right? And when we don't, we confess, and God forgives us. So then, we see that we love by allowing His perfect love to flow through us as we obey His word in the context of trusting in Him. Now, some of you, if you were honest, you would say today, from that definition, I don't love God, and thus I don't love His people. And to be honest, you love yourself. We're all there. We all come into this world being self-lovers. That's all we care about ultimately. And we care about other people, but only how it affects us. And God changes that when you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. You're forgiven of your sins. Your heart is cleansed. And He changes your desires and your nature that you can love Him and love His people. He gives you a desire to obey His word. And when you don't obey it, we feel awful. We feel convicted. We recognize our sin. Some of you have not loved God. You don't love God. You never have. You love yourself. But I've got some good news, friend. God considered you as more important than Himself. He considered you. You being in prison to your sins on the road to judgment, He gave His Son in your place. God requires death for sin. And if you don't respond, you will die in your sins and you will spend eternity in punishment. But He sent His Son instead in your place, and He took the full wrath of God for your sins. And if you are willing to admit that and turn to Jesus and call upon Him, He will save you from your sins. You will be forgiven of your sins. Will you bow down to Him today? Will you call out to Him? It's only then you can love God and love His people. Now, what's really interesting is we think we understand that, and I think we do understand that. But yet God is gracious here in His Word and other places to show us that we need to understand a little more about God's love, because we can be so easily deceived in our hearts, thinking we are loving God. You know, the Jews went out and they obeyed every commandment, right? Paul said he was blameless in regards to law when he was Saul, the Pharisee. Is obeying God's word simply mean that I love Him? But we're going to see that love has more to it than simply that. That there are guiding principles that reveal what true biblical love is. And Paul reveals that here in this passage. And we're going to see that true biblical love has guiding limitations that help us understand whether we're really, truly loving. So Paul is praying that their love would abound, super abound, more and more. And notice what he says, verse 9. In real knowledge and all discernment. This is where it's missing, brothers and sisters in the church. I'll tell you that right now. That love would abound in these areas, in real knowledge and all discernment. True biblical love has guiding limitations. Notice the first one, that it would abound still more and more in the sphere of real knowledge. The word in Greek is epinosis. It speaks of full knowledge or true knowledge. And I believe this knowledge that he's talking about has primarily to do with the Son of God and ultimately His will. In real knowledge of who He is and what He has said, in true knowledge. John 17 verse 3, Jesus says this as He prays, "And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Eternal life, knowledge, a relational knowledge with the living God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And that comes through His precious and magnificent promises, right? 2 Peter chapter 3 in the end, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in that knowledge, that true knowledge of Him. The Apostle Paul said in chapter 3 of Philippians, turn there, verse 8, talked about the knowledge of Jesus. He said, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now folks, we're going to see that knowledge is biblical knowledge concerning Christ, what He's revealed about Himself in a true relationship. But the reality is, we can't just have biblical knowledge and wisdom apart from a real relationship with Him. There are people who bank up all kinds of knowledge, and that's not a bad thing, but they don't have a real relationship with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. You see, so you can have biblical knowledge, but if you don't fear Him, you don't respect Him, you haven't come into a right relationship with Him, that knowledge is not the knowledge that is being spoken of here. It's the kind of knowledge that puffs up and makes arrogant, rather than true knowledge in the context of fearing the Lord. And as we're going to see, there are people who have knowledge, but they don't have it in the context of fearing the Lord. He says here, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge. Real knowledge, or true or full knowledge. Folks, biblical love cannot exist apart from the real intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ through His Word and His will. You can't know real love apart from knowing Him and His will. You can't. One pastor writes, love for Christ requires proper knowledge of Him. Pure emotional commitments and revivals, rededications, renewals will soon fade. Love for Christ will abound when His people learn the great eternal truths of Scripture. And I put this in myself, that point to Him and His will. Those truths in the context of the fear of the Lord. Some of you may be gaining all kinds of knowledge, but you're not gaining a relationship with Him because you haven't feared Him rightly. You don't see yourself as a sinner in need of everything, totally dependent upon Him. He is the living God, right of your reverence and fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. So here we see true biblical love doesn't exist apart from the knowledge of Christ and His will through His Word. And He says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, in the real deal. I believe in context concerning Christ, that you may know Him. You may know Him. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1? The goal of our instruction is love. The goal of instruction is not gaining knowledge per se by itself. It's knowledge that helps us understand Him rightly and brings about the context of a right relationship with Him in which He loves us, and then we are able to love Him and others. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that knowledge is equal to love. It's not. You know, Paul would share, as I mentioned a minute ago, that knowledge puffs up without love. It brings pride and arrogance. But God's love and His truth should have a right relationship. 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices in the truth. There is a right relationship between love and truth. So then, we need to recognize that he prays, first of all, that your love would continue to superabound more and more in real knowledge. You know the Lord, but he wants you to know Him more and more and more, that you would love Him more and more and more, that you would obey Him more and more and more. But notice it's not just that. It's not just that, because we have another problem that I see often in the body of Christ, that people may have knowledge of Christ, they may fear the Lord, but they don't rightly discern and apply that knowledge. Look again, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge. And, don't miss this, all discernment. Really important. Biblical love contains discernment. And Paul prays that it abound more in all discernment. I find discernment is lacking in the body of Christ these days. People may know the Word of God, and some don't, some do, but discernment in how to apply it in every situation is missing greatly. Have you ever talked to someone who knows the Word really well, but they're missing it? They're not applying it rightly to the circumstances in their lives? We see that. The term discernment here speaks of the moral action of recognizing distinctions, making a decision concerning behavior, perception, insight, judgments. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Biblical love not only contains true knowledge of Christ and His will, but is also discerning. And I think it's Shakespeare said, love is blind, right? Well, he's talking about another kind of love, right? But folks, blind love is not God's love. Paul prays that their love would superabound yet more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Not some discernment, but all discernment. A discernment that encompasses every aspect of life. All discernment. And this is, by the way, biblical discernment based on the knowledge that God gives, how to apply it to specific life situations and actions. how to divide and rightly see how God's word applies to the circumstances, on how you raise your kids, on how you interact in your marriage, and how you deal with work, on everything that comes before you, how to apply his word rightly. And again, I see this sorely lacking in the body of Christ. We've seen it around here. People have a lot of biblical knowledge, but cannot apply it rightly. Because as we'll see later on, they're hypocrites and stumblers. And that's what we are if we don't apply it rightly. He says, I pray that love may abound and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Well, how do we gain discernment? We know in Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who have, because of practice, had their senses trained to discern good and evil. And that's in the context of God's word teaching us to discern things. But again, I need to fear him, right? God's word is irrelevant to me if I do not fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, let love be without hypocrisy. Discern. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Make judgments about what is good and what is not good. Make those judgments. Throughout God's wisdom writings in the Old Testament, as you read through Proverbs over and over again, we see God encourages those who are naive to become wise based on his word. Those who are foolish, who reject his word, pay the penalty, right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We see how God's word, in the context of a right heart, directs choices in your life. Proverbs chapter 2. And again, it baffles me at times, but as I was studying this, I thought, this is it, Lord. This is why this happens. This is why people can know the word and so wrongly apply things. Something's wrong. They're not discerning it rightly towards their children, towards one another, towards the church, towards their work, towards whatever it might be. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my sayings, there's got to be a heart that's receptive. Treasure my commands. There's got to be a desire that loves it within you. Make your ear attentive. You're going to want to learn to wisdom. Incline your heart to understand. You want to know God's word and the Lord, right? For if you cry for what? Discernment, that I could decide and understand, see things rightly. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord God gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godliness. And then look at verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and equity, and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. We're going to see how ugly it is when that doesn't happen in the life of a believer. When discretion isn't there. And the basics of life, whatever it might be. But here, if you yearn for the right relationship with the Lord through his word, you yearn to know and understand and be more like him, and you treasure his word, you treasure wanting to be like him. He says, then you're going to discern. You're going to discern because God gives wisdom from his mouth. So then, true biblical love is grounded in biblical knowledge that is applied in the context of discernment. Sadly, Satan uses people who don't have discernment to stumble people. They may read passages about how to raise their kids and they apply it totally wrong and their kids are all messed up. And people look at them and go, I'm not going to do that. Because they're not discerning rightly. And I could give you examples about every area in our lives where if discernment is missing, we're going to see that people are stumbled. So then, brother and sister, are you in the Word of God, growing in his grace, the knowledge of Jesus, able to discern good and evil? It's my prayer that you will abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. And guess what? There's a result to that. So we have Paul's prayer here first, but then we have the results, and we need to understand what it looks like so we're not self-deceived. What does real biblical love look like? Look at our passage. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, so that, it's not just for your head, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I pray that you may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Verse 10, so that the purpose, and then end of verse 10, a result, in order that. I pray that this would happen so that this would happen with the result that this would happen. So we can see what it looks like, right? When people are absorbing God's truth, real genuine relationship with Christ, and discerning rightly what's going to happen for the purpose of something which brings the result of something else. And what's that first purpose that we see? What is that first purpose? So that you may approve the things that are excellent. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. The term approve, dokimazo, speaks of the act of testing something for the purpose of approving it. It's like if you want to test gold to see if it's genuine. You're testing something to ultimately approve it. It's proving something true by testing. Proving something true by testing. And then this phrase, which is translated, it's actually two words in Greek, that's the things that are excellent, comes from the Greek word diaphero. And it's kind of an interesting word. I wish I would have translated it this way because it helps us a lot. Dia and then pharaoh. Pharaoh means to carry. Dia, two. To carry two ways. What does that mean, to carry two ways? Well, it speaks of differing things. It speaks of things that literally differ. So the idea is testing, that you would be tested, proven to be able to distinguish between differing things. And then context, they've translated it this way. Obviously, you want to approve the excellent thing, which is excellent. Here we see biblical knowledge applied with discernment leads directly to right choices made. Discerning between two things. What should I do? What should I do? We choose the best, the excellent thing, the thing that is right. We make right choices. You see, it speaks of the ability to recognize the things that differ and thus make right choices. Does that make sense? One pastor writes, referring to this passage, the goal of this discernment is to be able to know and choose the best course of action, the biblical course of action in any situation. And let me say on the outset that nobody except Christ has ever lived a perfect life, but God wants to train us to live like His Son. And we have discernment is the art of separating out the best, the right thing, the biblical thing. Some things are good, but they're not the best. Discerning and making that right choice in real time. It's when the Word of God, through discernment, now acts upon the choices in our lives as we trust and obey Him. That's the result that leads unto right choices.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close out our brief study, what's one takeaway you can give us?
Well, Dave, it's simply this. As we humbly allow God to work in our hearts through His Word by His Spirit, then that very Spirit-produced love for Christ and others abounds more and more in real knowledge and discernment. And then our spiritual perceptions for the discernment of the finer aspects of the Christian walk will be sharpened. And then we'll be able to make the right choices, or as we've seen, righteous choices. And it's only when we grow in our love for Christ through the real knowledge of Him and the discernment given to us by His Holy Spirit that we are able to approve the things that are excellent. So, brothers and sisters, let me ask you this question. Are you approving the things that are excellent?
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.